Sky Carumba, March 19th through 25th, 2023. Venus continues its upward climb away from Jupiter below it in the evening sky. See them after sunset when darkness begins. Jupiter sets a little earlier each evening while Venus manages to stay up a little later. A thin crescent moon is next to Jupiter Wednesday night, one day after the new moon. The crescent is thicker as the moon approaches Venus the next night. Friday night, the moon's near Uranus. Thicker still, that crescent is near the Pleiades on Saturday evening. Mercury is making its way into the evening sky, but it's probably still too much in the sunset's light to be seen this week. And Jupiter's heading into the light, becoming harder to see. Mercury and Jupiter will be close Monday evening next week. The eastward moving Mars is west of Gemini, but moving eastward toward the constellation's feet. Castor is the western twin, and that's also the name of the star in the twin's head. The red planet will arrive close to Castor's ankles soon. The eastern twin is Pollux, and the head star is also named for its twin. A waning crescent moon is near Saturn on Sunday morning in the dawn. The ringed planet is stubbornly not getting very easy to see yet in middle and high northern latitudes. You may catch a glimpse this week from about 35 to 40 degrees north before the rising sun's light is too much. Binoculars will help. Also on Sunday, the moon's at perigee. It's 362,600 kilometers from the Earth. Our March equinox happens Monday at 21:25 Universal Time. Astrologers wrongly believe that the sun is about to enter Aries this time of year. Actually, the sun is just now getting into Pisces. It won't be in Aries for a little over a month. The sun used to enter Pisces around March 21st, but over many thousands of years, the Earth wobbles like a top as it rotates. The phenomenon is called the precession of the equinoxes. The sun is also moving as it orbits the Milky Way's galactic center. These movements cause the positions of the constellations to shift. I don't deal with astrology, so I'll leave it to astrologers to explain why they prefer to think the sun's about to enter Aries now. If you want to see Aries, look for Venus this week. It's moving up the night sky alongside it. The constellation is right of the planet in the evening sky for Northern Hemisphere viewers. From middle and high southern latitudes, the constellation is below the planet. The bright star in Aries is called Hamal. That's Arabic for ram. That star is about 66 light years from us. Sheraton is the second brightest star in Aries. It's about 60 light years away. It's very interesting to astronomers because of a companion star orbiting every 107 days. We can't see it even in the best of telescopes, but instruments that measure Doppler shifts in light beams can tell us it's there. The star shifts colors very slightly toward the blue end of the spectrum as it moves toward us, and very slightly toward the red end as it moves away. Sheraton's companion orbits closer than Venus does to our sun, and it's a highly elliptical orbit. Ceres is at opposition on Wednesday. It's now considered a minor planet, but in 1801, when Giuseppe Piazzi discovered it, no one was sure what kind of object it was. The words asteroid and planetoid were suggested, because in the best telescopes of the time, it was a point light source like a star, but it also moved among the stars like a planet. Ceres was first on the list of numbered asteroids until the International Astronomical Union decided about 17 years ago that it's too big and round for that category. Something else Piazzi was famous for was carefully measuring the exact positions of the stars. He examined and cataloged more than 7,000 of them. His measurements were so precise that when he took the measurements again, his work helped prove that the stars move. That movement is called proper motion. The moon occults Venus Friday. The easy nighttime view will be from Southeast Asia, but from Southern Africa to Southwest and South Central Asia, it will be a daytime event. If you're there and you know exactly where to look, you can see Venus disappear and reappear. If conditions are really good, you can see Venus with the naked eye in the daytime. Otherwise, binoculars or a telescope will help you. You would actually be able to see the white dot of Venus against the blue sky vanish and then reappear sometime later. Now be very careful if you do this, because you do want to make sure that your optics don't point too close to the sun. About 12 hours later, the moon will pass near Uranus. Sky Caramba.